So we are continuing in our discussion on in Philippians. And so today I'm going to be sharing out of Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And the chapter title in the Bible is Have the Attitude of Christ. And in this scripture, Paul is highlighting unity through humility and Jesus' lordship. So when I look at this portion of scripture, I see it's kind of broken up into two different parts. If you have your Bibles with you, you can see that the first part being like an encouragement to the Philippian church, and the second part being a song about Jesus. So just to backtrack for a second before we start in chapter 2, it's kind of a reminder, quick reminder of what we've gone over for chapter 1. Paul has just exhorted the Philippian church to live a life worthy of the gospel. He has told them to not be frightened by those who oppress them, which is saying a lot considering he's in prison by those who oppose him. He's also just told them that they will suffer for Christ, but even in that suffering, to stand firm in one spirit and to strive together in one faith for the gospel. So far, we've just gone through that first chapter, and it's not wimpy language. Paul's really teaching sharing some truths here. This is powerful language for a hard season that they, as a church community, are going through. So back to chapter 2. Paul is calling the Philippian Christians to be fully united with each other so that they can gain strength from one another. He starts by asking four questions. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? So I see this as a challenge. He's challenging the Philippian church. He is asking them to search their hearts, to search their motives, and you know, underlining all that, what he's asking is there anyone who isn't unified in this? Because there's going to be some problems. He's thankful for the Philippians' care for him and the support of his ministry. Yet there are problems in their community. In particular, Paul is concerned about dissension among the members and about opponents, as he calls it, who preach righteousness based on circumcision and law observance. So Paul is urging the Philippians to live in a manner worthy of the gospel, so that he will know that they are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. Paul continues on this theme of unity of mind and spirit, urging the Philippians to be of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord with one mind. That's in chapter 2, verse 2. So encouraging the community to be of one mind, I think that Paul is saying that he expects no difference of opinion on certain matters within the community. You know, I think in some things we can have different opinions on things, but in these certain things he's saying, no, we cannot be of split mind. We have to have the same opinion. We have to be of one heart. You know, and he is not naive about congregational life. He knows that there are those with differing theology, and it's causing problems. He's encouraging them to be united in a spirit of love and concern for the common good. He then urges them, don't be selfish, trying to impress others, or be conceited, thinking you are better than others. Be humble, think of others as better than yourselves, and take an interest of others. So then Paul introduces what I call like the Christ song, the Jesus song, saying, You must have the same attitude that Jesus had, which is also translated among you. So with that, I think, you know, Paul is envisioning the life of the community, like we are a community here, but the life of the community as being formed in the mind of Christ by a spirit of humility and loving service to one another, rather than a competition or grasping for power and control. So you can kind of get an idea of what was going on in the church. There were probably those who were like, I'm the greatest teacher. No, I'm the greatest teacher. And so he's saying, no. You need to see others better than yourselves. Take an interest in others. Be humble. You know, by a spirit of humility and loving service to one another. He's asking them to serve one another instead. So the question for me, for us today in this space, is does our life as a community church together reflect the same mind that was in Jesus Christ? When you think of that, the mind of Christ, are we that? Are we looking to the interests of others other than our own interests? Are we full of humility, and are we serving others? Could somebody come in and say, that's evident. I see that here. Now, I think that having the mind of Christ should shape the internal life of a congregation or a faith community. But I also think its relationship with its greater community and the world outside its four walls. So we have this community here, and then we have the community beyond that. And Paul calls us to give up our grasping for worldly power and instead embrace the role of a servant. You know, power struggles and pining for glory do not honor the name of Jesus, and we know this. But following Jesus and identifying with the lowly and giving ourselves away in humble service to a suffering world is how we honor the name that is above every name. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, Paul inserts a song at this point. And in this song, we see how Jesus embodies his given name. And so we actually sang a couple songs very specifically, I requested, because we were singing about the name of Jesus. But Jesus embodies his given name. He saves, because that's what Jesus means, is he saves. Being in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped or exploited or something to be held onto at all costs and used to his own advantage. So that's Jesus. It says in verse 7, instead he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. Verse 8, he humbled himself in obedience to God and he died a criminal's death on a cross. So Jesus, he willingly emptied himself. He took the form of a slave. He humbled himself. He became obedient even to the point of death. And not just any death, a criminal's death, a death on a cross. Jesus is not a passive victim. Again, this is strong language that Paul is using. Jesus is not a passive victim. He enters fully and willingly into his mission. He empties himself of all the claims to divine glory and honor to become just a lame old human. We're not lame. But he was a human not of high status or honor, but a lowly slave serving other human beings. And they were not high status human beings either. He humbles himself even to the point of dying that slave's death. The shameful, the torturous, the form of execution by crucifixion was reserved for the slaves and for the rebels against Roman rule. And that's what Jesus got. Jesus is the one who, again in verse 9, says, "Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth." And in verse 11, "And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So, in exalting Jesus, God gives Jesus his own name. He gives them the name Lord and gives him lordship over all creation. That one day every knee will bend before him in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will join in confessing together that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I think this song is so beautiful. There's many worship songs that we sing on the regular that come from this portion of Scripture. And I think it is really important for us to sing these words and to have them be a part of our hearts and our minds, our spirits. You know, and this song makes really an astonishing claim that the one we call God and Lord is most fully revealed in the crucified one. We really get a fuller picture of who God is, of who Jesus is, because of his death. He was the one who humbled himself. He took the form of a slave, which shows us who God is and how God acts. You know, God's essential character, I think, is shown to be this one of self-emptying love rather than self-promotion or, like I said earlier, you know, grasping for power and glory. But Jesus, he's the one who saves. He is God's anointed one and Lord of all. So to kind of go back to the beginning, and to answer Paul's questions from earlier, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? These are good questions for us. And I believe that the answer is in knowing God's character and knowing Jesus' character. And the answer is yes, right? There is encouragement from belonging in Christ. Yes, there is comfort in his love. Yes, there is fellowship together in the Spirit. It also comes from being a servant, by not being selfish, by loving one another, by working together with one common purpose. And I believe that one common purpose is simple and yet is really hard. And that would be the greatest commandment, which we see in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39. And this is Jesus saying, well, someone else says, "Teacher, which one is the greatest of the laws?" And Jesus said to him, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest of the laws. The second is like it. You must love your neighbor as yourself." So I think when Paul is referring to that common purpose, this is really it. It's just loving one another. It's sharing the gospel. It's living the gospel, because living it says a whole lot more than just sharing it. And so I think that's what Paul is talking about here, that common purpose. which is so simple, and yet it can be so hard sometimes. So I think the final question, his last question here, is for us to take home and just to kind of ponder it in our own hearts. And that question is, are our hearts tender and compassionate? Which again, sounds like an easy question to answer. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, that's me. But is your heart really tender? Is it really compassionate? Are our hearts tender and compassionate towards maybe an unfriendly neighbor or coworker? Is it tender and compassionate towards somebody who has a different political view or worldview or philosophical view? Is it tender and compassionate toward the people that we most closely share our lives with, the ones that are the easiest to lash out at? Are we being tender and compassionate towards one another, the people we know and the people we don't know? It's awful easy to yell at somebody on the television and say negative crap about them because they can't hear us, but we wouldn't say it to their face if they were in the room. But is that showing tenderness and compassion? So I think humility and unity really starts with that final question. Are our hearts tender and compassionate? So I want to bounce back over to this song again. And I want us to just kind of meditate on the song portion of this scripture this week, because it brings back so much of who Jesus is and who our Heavenly Father is. The nature and the character that we should have the attitude of. When it says to be Christ-like, this is who we need to be. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Verse 7, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that brings me back to a couple of the songs we sang today. You know, what a beautiful name it is. You know, and every knee will bow in heaven and the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So those are kind of my taking from Paul and my encouragements for us. It's just those four questions to ponder this week. And primarily that last one about tender and compassionate hearts. I mean, I know I could be a whole lot more tender and compassionate to other people who maybe just think a little bit differently than me or act a little bit more differently than me. And that's a challenge sometimes. But I think it's something worthy of doing. You know, and just the thought of that humility and unity in a faith community like this starts with that question. Are our hearts tender and compassionate towards each other? So I just want to pray for us today before we are released. And I do want to say we have our prayer station open. So after I'm done praying, if you feel like you need prayer for something, I do want to pray for the fires. Christopher Wickland is currently, I think he's still over there, right? Yeah, JJ, yeah. Is right there. This is his first big boy fire. And so just pray for protection for him and all the other, yeah, Chris is there. So definitely want to pray for all the firefighters, and especially our favorite one, Chris. Just that he would be safe and protected, and, you know, just pray for this wind to stop. As much as we're having fun with it, it is not good for fires. So, Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the scriptures that remind us over and over again about your incredible love and sacrifice. Lord, I pray that you would help us this week to cultivate those tender and compassionate hearts. Lord, I pray for opportunities this week where we can be your humble servants. And Lord, we lift up all of the firemen and women who are out on the front lines today, tomorrow, however many days it's going to take. Lord, I just pray for protection over them, that there would not be one single injury or fatality. We pray that you would calm the winds, that the fire would be able to go out. We pray for all the people who've been displaced, who've had to flee from their homes because of the fire. Pray that your presence would be with them, keeping them safe as well. And even just everybody, I don't even know how many thousands, Lord, you know, who are without power right now, that you would just be with them as well. And just everybody generally affected by the fire and the wind and the power outages. Holy Spirit, just be with the folks in California today and the following days. Especially just lift up Chris. And even with his injury, Lord, that you would just keep his ankle strong, and you would give him and the other firemen the just the energy that they need to take care of this fire, wisdom and strength, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.